The Around the NFL Podcast. Can afford avocado toast and a house.
Welcome back to another edition of the Around the NFL Podcast. My name is Dan Hanses, and I'm joined by a room filled with heroes, Mark Sessler, Colleen Wolf, and Greg Rosenthal. What's up, people?
Hey.
Not a single person attached to this show has ever owned a house in Los Angeles, or ever will.
But we live in a house, or I do. Yeah, I guess we all do.
Rent is not really
affordable. It's not affording a house. That's renting space.
We could not be further from owning
a house. Ask our wives and husbands and other various figures if we're owning property.
This is the Around the NFL Podcast,
right, Mark.
Presented, of course, by Head & Shoulders. And special day because it's Mark Sessler's birthday.
Happy birthday. Thanks. I didn't even know that.
Keeping it under the radar.
What a genuine reaction from Colleen. We've lost the ability to have that sort of joy for our friend Mark.
Aw. I wish I had like a cake or a cupcake or... You don't need that, though, right?
You're good. Okay. We're good.
I mean, as you mentioned, Dan, a lot of pop for a 43-year-old man's birthday today.
Yeah. I'm 44, Greg, but thank you.
44, okay. we passed somebody in the hallway, and it was like, hey, I heard it's your birthday. And Mark's like, yep, nailed it. What do you got plans for your big day? You got a day off tomorrow? What are you going to do?
I've not planned it out much at all, to be honest.
I don't believe that.
Yeah.
You got something up your sleeve.
Really?
No, I'm taking them off, but it's to do a lot of work stuff and not be interrupted by work. Other work things.
Here's my theory.
I don't buy this.
Check out the Instagram of Mark Sessler tomorrow. I'm predicting 6 a.m. shots of Los Angeles alleyways at dawn. That's my prediction.
I want you drinking white wine and texting Greg.
This feels like
it will not be the case.
This feels like a trip up the coast type of day.
It's a trip up the coast. There's definitely some wine involved. Maybe a hostel. Like that type of thing, that type of Sessler.
It's couch in the middle of a work week. My aspirations are low. We'll see what happens.
All right. A lot to get to today, as you know, if you are a listener of our Tuesday show. It is jam-packed. Got Connie Fox with us, the tiny box, they call her.
That's right.
And you have to be excited because so many things going on. Number one, we got to talk about Monday Night Football, a game that started out as a stinker and turned into, you know, a nice saucy affair in Chicago between the Vikings and Bears. Also, we are going to take a look at some different players across the league that have struggled, and we're gonna break out the DEFCON meter and share and express our level of concern for each of these prominent names. And yes, it is back for a third week against Greg's wishes, perhaps against society's wishes. It is on you, the listener, to end the subreddit super contest because it's back for week three. Oh, my goodness.
Woo!
With the opportunity to win two game tickets to any game in the country or in London.
Is it only three?
What?
Only the third show?
Is it the third week?
You know how, like, you know,
the fourth.
Usually you're in the season, you're like,
fourth.
Oh, yeah, it flew by. You know, like, these shows have not flown by.
Feels like we've been doing it forever, yeah. Right?
It is something. It started out as a nice thing. For the listeners, it's now turned into a nice thing for me to watch Greg squirm.
I mean, I will say one thing. I love our listeners, but with each passing week, my confidence in their ability in the clutch is lessened.
This is a huge week for the listeners. Let's be honest.
It's a small sample size, though.
I'm willing to make rash judgments off a small sample size, and the knowledge and the ability to deliver has been very low.
Well, put it this way. Put it this way. This is week four. That means we're 0-9. So that's a small sample size, but it's not that small.
It's a stack of tomato cans.
All right. So we'll see. The loose cannon behind the glass. She has three more contestants lined up for today. And best of luck to you guys.
Yeah.
Because honestly, there's going to be a lot of disappointment all around the horseshoe if we don't have a winner today. No pressure. So much to get to. And also, of course, Thursday night preview as well. But let's start with that Monday Night Football game.
Trubisky goes out of the shotgun. The rookie from North Carolina takes the snap, looking over the center of the field, sees nothing, runs out to the right, passes, intercepted by Harry the Hitman, and he spins away from Trey McBride, and he dives down at the 29. Harry the Hitman picked off Mitch Trubisky with 2:20 to go in the game, and the game's tied at 17. Let's go!
Who are we listening to there, Erica?
I believe that's Paul Allen. I think I know.
An amazing person.
I just know. It's Paul Allen.
Paul Allen with the call. And the hitman is Harrison Smith, who had the big interception late in the fourth quarter of Mitch Trubisky making his first NFL start. That was converted into the game-winning field goal. And the Bears come close, but they cannot topple the Vikings. A 2017 win for the Vikings over the Chicago Bears, a game, Greg, where the Vikings lost their starting quarterback once again, who didn't look anything like himself before he was pulled. But Case Keenum stepped in and, along with Harrison Smith, saved the day.
Yeah, the Mike Zimmer almost cost the Vikings a game here by starting Sam Bradford and leaving him in so long. Now, we don't know what he saw in practice. It's not a crazy decision to want to get Bradford back out there if he's out there and he wants to play. But Case Keenum is clearly a better quarterback than Bradford. And it really struck me watching this game that how much coaching and experience matters in the NFL, because no one is surprised that Case Keenum, a fifth-year journeyman, easily outplayed the number two overall pick in the draft. That's just kind of how quarterbacking goes in the NFL, and Keenum's playing very well this year.
I'd have to ask. I think it opens the door in a very strange, almost neat fashion at some point this season for Teddy Bridgewater to reappear as Minnesota's quarterback. I mean, it's healthy, out there. It's possible. They say he looks like at some point, even after week seven, could be healthy enough to play. They're going to be cautious with it. But to think how this Bradford thing has played out, how interesting that Bradford finally would open the door for Bridgewater to come back potentially.
I thought it was striking, and he's always kind of looked like this, but I remember thinking when Bradford took the field, he just looked frail. He looked skinny. He didn't look like a starting quarterback would
look. Move.
And then when he started moving, and I think
he makes Jared Goff look bulky.
He even stayed in the game longer than he should have. I mean, that the last time after they got the fumble deep in Chicago territory, and he took that sack where he looked like Joe Namath in 1976. I mean, he looked that fragile and a guy that shouldn't have been anywhere near the field at that point. So credit to Keenum. And Zimmer didn't do a good job with this. I was struck, Colleen, by John Fox.
Oh, my God.
We killed John Fox around here, and rightfully so for the most part, and he's on the hot seat, and we all know that. But he did some things that kept his team in the game.
I loved it. First of all, he was so animated on the sidelines. When he jumped up, it was almost like he got so much air. I don't know what his vertical is, but I had no idea he had that in him. Also,
in good shape.
The fake punt. I mean, that was, I think, the first time that they threw for like over 30 yards.
What a patient, beautiful throw that was.
That was amazing.
It was funny.
The 2-point conversion, that play design was so much fun to watch.
Well, yeah, and I wouldn't credit John. I credit him for greenlighting the concept of doing it. But Dowell Loggins, who has been an up-and-down coordinator, to say the least, dating back to his time with the Titans, with the Browns, there was always elements of very strange trickery. It often did not work. The extra point last night, or the 2-point conversion, obviously blew up on Twitter. It was a fascinating play call. John Fox did not draw that up on his bedside notebook, though.
No, Dowell Loggins, who was at Arkansas when they had Felix Jones and Darren McFadden and had a crazy running attack. Like, he likes using that sort of attack, and that's what you need when you don't have any receivers. I mean, we haven't really talked about Trubisky, who showed some really good things early in the game in terms of accuracy, and he can throw on the move, and that's great, but penalties and drops, and we're giving Loggins some credit, but let's be honest, they scored 7 points on offense.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, if Mike Glennon scored 7 points on offense and went 12 for 25 for 128 yards, you'd probably get killed. But I think if you watched the game, you didn't really feel that way about Trubisky.
No, and it's a very solid defense that knows the Bears well in the Minnesota. But I will say this, that you wanted to come out of this as a Bears fan that has failed to draft or groom a quarterback for so long to see some of the same traits you saw in August, and you did. He was getting crushed by his wide receivers. He's one of these quarterbacks. It reminds me of DeShone Kizer and others. No help around you. You're alone as the quarterback, but he did a lot of good things.
His offense was crushing him, and then Everson Griffin was amazing in this game. That defense, the Vikings defense, played so well. We mentioned Harrison Smith at the beginning of the show, and then Xavier Rhodes, he wasn't even targeted the entire game for the first time in his whole career.
They have a lot of guys playing at their highest levels right now. Griffin is playing better than he ever has. Danielle Hunter's played really well the last few weeks. Barr starting to
Which,
step
by the way, Harrison wasn't Smith. That weird that John Gruden kept talking about how much he wanted to look like Danielle Hunter?
Oh, yeah.
Did you guys catch that?
I believe we have that, actually. It was one of my favorite moments of the night.
If I could look like anybody on the planet, I'd probably want to look like Danielle Hunter.
Which is, I mean, he definitely came up with that line like 48 hours earlier, thinking about what he should say on Monday Night Football, but it's passable.
It's weird, though, because I've always felt that way, too.
Danielle
Hunter was always my ultimate North Star in terms of bodies. So we have that
sense.
Me and John Gruden.
Wait, Mark, you think he cooked that up like days in advance?
Absolutely. Well, the experience came days in advance. He said it was from walking around the facility. And so he was already had the impression in his mind. And yes, I think they prepare all sorts of things they're going to say.
And a couple of minutes later, they continued with the conversation and they both went in on it and started talking about more.
Even among NFL players, he's what, you know, they call it, like, in the draft prospect. They go, oh, he's got a body beautiful.
Like, I can't tell if anyone's being serious or not right now.
Yeah, we're serious.
Yeah.
I got to
plug in on this guy.
Wait, you think that it would be an incredible scenario to come up with quips and comments before Monday Night Football, actually, the cameras go on? I think that they...
Well, it's more like a look behind the curtain of Jay Gruden, like what, or John Gruden, like what...
Well, he's a specimen.
He imagines.
He's large and muscular.
Mind.
I mean, even among NFL players, he's a large, imposing figure.
Have you guys ever had that thought?
That is a weird
privately
thought.
You don't have to say who the person is.
Well, I thought we could go around.
What, you want to have someone else's body and stuff?
Yeah.
Like, have you ever, like, looked at someone and say, ooh, I want that body?
Like 1,000 times.
Beach body.
Really? But, like, a specific individual?
Yeah, Steven Gostkowski for me.
Yeah, but not a football player.
I would like to be taller, and, like, there's a lot of Instagram models that... That sure. I could go, huh. Yeah, that would be fine.
I mean, we all, yeah. I mean, everyone does, but to have a specific person that you would want to buy.
I mean, I think it was a little bit of a bit, you know, and yeah. it was a good one.
A weird thing to come up with ahead of time if that was the case, though.
Yeah, I liked it. And their defense and Hunter, they saved them because they only had 30, 40 yards in the first half.
Yeah.
The defense outscored the Bears defense 3-2 in the first half. Basically, there was no offensive play in the first half whatsoever. And Keenum... For it should be noted, is fifth right now in ESPN's QBR, ahead of like Tom Brady and Matt Ryan and Aaron Rodgers. He's seventh among Pro Football Focus. I mean, he has been a really good sign. Not saying he's going to pick it up, but him and Pat Shurmur have done an incredible job this season.
All right, let's move on. All right, let's do some news, and we'll start with something that came down on Tuesday morning involving a name brand in the NFL that's been struggling. Adrian Peterson... has been traded to the Arizona Cardinals from the New Orleans Saints. NFL Network's Tom Pelissero reported this this morning. ESPN had the first report. Rap Sheet added that the Cardinals are sending back a conditional late-round pick. All Day told NFL Network's Stacey Dales, "I'm so ecstatic." Kind of like a Jesse from Saved by the Bell moment right there. So Peterson has been a non-entity for the Saints. Colleen, 27 carries for 81 yards in 4 games, never had a defined role, was lost in the shuffle there, and now he goes to Arizona. Probably good for the Saints, and what does it mean for the Cardinals?
Well, I mean, the Cardinals, they had nothing going on with the run game, so at least they can try and give this a shot and see if maybe it works. Cutting Chris Johnson, like, he did nothing for them, and the fact that they had no John Brown, like, it's just the way that, or David Johnson, the way that that offense works, it's just not helping them at all that they don't have that run game. So I think it kind of works out for both parties.
It's great for the Saints, who I'm sure are thrilled to get his salary off the books and basically the distraction after they realized that he didn't really fit on that team and that they don't need him. Remember, he was signed before they drafted Alvin Kamara, and you know, and they see how everything's working. I find it interesting to see these two players, two of the best running backs of the last decade, kind of two ships passing in the night again. I remember an offseason where the hot take debate was, which running back is better, CJ2K or Adrian Peterson, the two best players in the league, and now they're kind of at the end of the line, and it's almost like making a somewhat sad Cardinals team a little sadder, though. It's like this old, not that fun to watch anymore team.
It's desperate.
Yeah.
It's a team that none of us believe is going anywhere. Prove us wrong. And you've added a player that at this point, I think if you're totally detached from football and you see this in the newspaper, you say, wow, Adrian Peterson to the Cardinals, that's huge for the Cardinals. But if you've watched Adrian Peterson this season, and I think he would benefit by being on a team maybe in Arizona where you're not brought in the third quarter to carry the ball 3 times. If he's going to succeed, he's a flow runner, give him more of a chance. But it is a desperate move, and I would be surprised if it pays off.
He should be better than Chris Johnson, though. So yeah. I get why.
How could you not be? I'm sure you could have. You could step in and do more than Chris Johnson did in the last game.
That is false.
Chris Johnson, if you watch their most recent game, Chris Johnson couldn't move the ball.
It's the offensive line.
The offensive line is a problem, but Chris Johnson is way on the other side. And maybe Peterson, listen, everyone's completely writing him off now. I'm not saying I'm expecting him now to run for 1,000 yards in 10 games there, but he's going to get the ball. You don't have to worry about him sniping on the sidelines, at least to start right now. He's going to be a workhorse on that team, and we'll see what happens. It's a little bit desperate. It's definitely a Hail Mary for the Cardinals, who are just looking for something to inject into the season that's been very flat.
Maybe a Hail Mary for both, too, at this point, because he was obviously frustrated.
And I don't think I've seen enough out of Adrian Peterson to say he's totally washed up.
What I
he
mean.
Did not fit there at all. There were a couple runs where he ran pretty hard this season. Like, you barely saw anything. It was just obvious that he had no business being on that team.
I just would give him a chance to completely run the show as the running back and see what you got.
All right, moving on. One of the stranger storylines, and it popped up on
putting it nicely.
popped up on Reddit, and then kind of or Facebook, and then went viral with the help of Reddit. A Dolphins offensive line coach named Chris Forrester. Was a video started getting passed around of him apparently at the Dolphins facility snorting lines of something. Colleen, what was it?
A white substance.
Yeah, but, you know, what do you think it was?
Why are you putting me on the spot like this?
Oh,
I don't know what it was.
I thought maybe, you know. So he was snorting something, and I was insinuating drug use on your part, but that was just
what?
A joke.
What are you doing? This is such a weird
You're not
setup.
A drug addict. Colleen doesn't do drugs. That was a bit. Chris Forrester apparently might have a problem. So it gets out there.
Taking a strange turn.
Yeah, it gets out there. It gets out there, and Forrester resigns the next morning.
Cut to next week. Colleen, we hear, is only appearing on the Dave Damashek football program.
And now exclusively on the Dave Damashek football program, Colleen Wolf. So anyway, Chris Forrester, no longer with the Dolphins after this truly bizarre video services, Mark. And that is one way for you to shipwreck your career. That's one way to do it.
Yeah.
Well, there are the multiple things here that I think I would suggest someone maybe don't do. A, like publicly film drug use after the concept of doing it to begin with. That's someone's different, you know, you can have different takes on that. But
why did you just look at Colleen there?
Why are you setting this up? Dan, damn it, stop it.
That's absurd. That was an absurd pot-stirring attempt. Here's the thing. Do not, when you do these things that probably are not going to look good to your employer, send the video to, I guess, a woman of the night. I don't know what else to call her. But just be careful who you consort with in general and stop sending out, you know, self-damaging videos because it leads to this.
It appeared to be a escort / girlfriend. You know, the line is hazy there when finances are involved most likely. But yeah.
I think also in this, let me bring it back.
Some great takeaways from this.
He almost became the Rams offensive coordinator, but the Dolphins had blocked it in the offseason.
Well, here was my the most shocking thing. And although this was about as shocking and crazy. There's been some crazy Dolphin stories over the year. Some that they want to forget, including their last offensive line coach, or maybe it was two ago. Of course, we remember that whole scandal in terms of bullying and everything. But
right.
There's been some crazy Dolphin stories over the years. But one of the craziest takeaways I had from all this, Chris Forrester was reportedly making between $2.5 and $3 million a year.
Good gig.
As an offensive line coach, which is shocking. Jay Ajayi's 4-year contract is worth $2.5 million. And their line coach is making more than that.
Well, the only thing I'd say to that, because there was a year where the Browns line coach vanished and their line, which actually was meant to be good, completely crumbled. And it's easy for us to say it's just a position coach, like fill in the blank with the next dude.
No, I get it. But
Jay blow up that room. Like the coach is the centerpiece of that entire.
I get it. But
it's not like their line is doing anything great though right now. The line is basically imploding itself too.
Just shows you how underpaid the players are. That's all I'm saying. Compared to if in a free market that guy can get $2.5 to $3 million.
Yeah, and guess what? He'll be working again in two seasons, if not next season. That's how this thing works.
Well, hopefully he can get the help that he needs.
It's fair.
He clearly has a problem.
Yeah, clearly there's a problem here. Also, mark it down, October 10th, 2017, 10:50 a.m. Woman of the Night used for the first time on our podcast.
I don't know. Go back to our Super Bowl show from two or three seasons ago, and Dan was on quite a jag about a situation close to then.
Was that in Arizona?
I don't know what you're referring to.
You were trying to insinuate things about other people on the show, which was untrue.
Oh, you in a connection to a woman of the night.
Which was utterly false. And
all right, go back and find that. I don't remember that, but I like this. All right, let's move on.
I remember these things.
Let's move on. The Bucks. Oh, my goodness. The Bucks. They're making another change at kicker.
Oh.
Aguayo. Folk.
These are getting increasingly darker, Dan.
We actually stopped down the show for like 11 minutes to make sure that was part of today's episode.
It was very important that got.
Yes, Nick Folk, who
this is a window into Dan's soul that I'm not entirely comfortable with.
Nick Folk, who beat out Robbie Aguayo for the Bucks kicker job this summer, he is now also out of a job. Tampa Bay is cursed at the position, so now they have. After Folk had a dreadful week four or week five and season in general, he's gone. In comes Patrick Murray, former Saints and Browns booter, according to Mark Scoppy. Mark, this is a move that Tampa had to make, and you knew it. You knew it based on the comments that were made by Dirk Koetter after the game, after Folk. What did he do? He missed. He basically lost the game to the
Patriots. And the week before cost them 7 points, too.
They did not give him any vote of confidence, so you knew it was just a matter of time. So Murray takes over for Folk, and hopefully for the Bucks, he brings some stability to a position that's been a total train wreck now for a year and a half.
By the way, you only go booter and copy when I've had to use kicker like multiple times.
Booter,
like, well, this is how these things work, Greg. So, you know, listen, here's
this
the thing.
Is how I would you just, write, Greg?
I would just say kicker again.
I know you would. Here's
Mark's
what annoys
like,
me.
Get me out of here and let me begin my birthday.
No, not at all. Here's what annoys me because I think number one, if you're Dirk Koetter, you are just driven nuts. You want to assume as a head coach, this is not the thing you want to have at the top of your bullet points of I need to be concerned about weekly with my team. There's a lot you got trying to develop a young quarterback and offense, but people tweeting saying, oh, well, this is a bigger issue than like these teams that don't have quarterbacks, the Jets, the Browns, other teams. Like, no. You're going to find a kicker. This thing's going to sort itself out. Don't tell me that you're in a worse situation than these teams that haven't had a quarterback.
It's really
for decades.
Not that hard. You just found a kicker who was already on your team. He used to be on the Bucks,
right.
And he made like 25 straight field goals.
Maybe it does feel hexed, though. Something feels like total dark arts magic going on with that team, and I don't like it at all.
And finally in the news, Y.A. Tittle, the Hall of Fame quarterback, not a booter, a signal caller for the Colts, 49ers, Giants. He passed away on Sunday night, 90 years old. Mark, you wrote a obit up for NFL.com. He was seen or is seen as one of the trailblazers in terms of the passing quarterbacks in the NFL. It used to be a lot more boring. If you're not a fan of like 3 yards up the middle, cloud of dust, Tittle was part of the group that kind of changed how offenses worked.
Well, and also all these quarterbacks that are constantly getting headlines because they want to play until their late 30s. I might play till I'm 36. Like, this guy played till 38, long before sports science and all that other nonsense rose up. He was taking the Giants into the playoff picture in the mid-60s when he was in his late 30s. This guy was also the play. If you don't remember growing up as a football fan and see the iconic photo of him, I think it was his last season in the league after he had thrown a pick six, sitting, kneeling on the turf, blood coming down from his forehead. He was called the Bald Eagle because he had a bald head. That's one of the most iconic NFL photos ever, and he also is the guy that threw 7 touchdowns in one game against the Redskins.
Wow.
Y.A. Tittle, dead at the age of 90. Rest in peace. That's it for the news. And now let's move on to the Thursday night football preview presented by Shoulders of Greatness. Head and shoulders, shoulders of greatness. I'll get it eventually.
That was good.
Yeah, did my best. All right, here we go, Greg. Philadelphia Eagles at the Carolina Panthers. Oh, Maron, how about this? CBS and Jimmy Nance and Antonio Romo all excited because they got a banger here. 2-4-1 teams, and I'll say it, Greg, I'll throw it out there. Potential NFC championship game preview.
Whoa.
I don't care. I'm saying it.
Colleen would love that.
I love it.
I would love that because these are two of my most favorite teams to watch because of the quarterbacks, because they're so entertaining. The fact that if you had told me going into the season, the Eagles would have a great running game and the Panthers would be the team the last few weeks when they really get it going, which is all about the pass. And I would be a little worried about how they play with a lead. They gave up that lead in part because they could not run the ball, but it didn't matter because no one right now is any better throwing intermediate passes up the seams more than Cam Newton.
Yeah, I obviously can't wait for this game. I think that Carson Wentz, the way that he's been able to spread the ball around and get so many different guys involved. We saw Torrey Smith finally get a touchdown, and the way that he's connecting with Nelson Aguilar, who couldn't even catch last year. I mean, he was dropping everything last year, and now he's scoring these long touchdowns. Plus the defensive line there, they had Fletcher Cox out. And it doesn't even matter because Timmy Jernigan, that was an amazing job by Howie Roseman to bring him in this year because it doesn't even look like a problem.
Yeah, I like this. You're pumped.
I know.
Are you waiting all day for Thursday night?
Yeah.
I mean, it's
all day.
It's the most exciting Eagles team in a while. It's a team that feels like it has staying power because it's good on both sides of the line. Like there aren't, how many NFL teams can you even think of that's like, they have a good offensive line and they have a great defensive line. There's not many.
Yeah, they were very high for most of us, I believe, in our power rankings. I had them at 2, which I think was a little aggressive, but I kind of think they're rounding into form. I love the fact that, you know, early first 2 weeks, the ground game seemed like a suspect operation, which is terrible for a young quarterback. Now it's like you get Smallwood goes out and they just plug in Kenyon Barner, who looked great on special teams, looked great, you know, catching passes out of the backfield. They got so many different guys that you can attack with. And Zach Ertz is quietly the best tight end in football right now, I think.
It's not even close. I mean, Gronk has been...
Well, people automatically put Gronk, and I get it, but Ertz has been incredibly productive.
A guy that you could count on week after week, and especially in a year, I mean, if you want to take it to the fantasy corner, in a year where tight end position has been so bad that you're going to have teams and leagues that are going to get the flex position and wiping out the tight end because who knows when this position being phased out and on some level from a pass-catching angle. Ertz has been a guy every week who's delivering from the guy on the other side of the ball.
There's no Ed Dixon.
I was going to say, Ed Dixon.
Will Ed Dixon
Let's see that week to week.
Yeah, will Ed Dixon have that many yards the rest of the season? I don't know.
The rest
I'm
of
totally
his,
convinced.
175 yards.
This is where you know you have some great shoulders. When guys that normally aren't doing it
what
step up.
What a company
up.
Man over here.
Yeah, look at that. Nice Devin Funchess has really impressed me week after week with the tough grabs that he's making. And then you have...
Those routes he's running are really something.
Right, yeah. So you know about those routes, right, Colleen? Okay.
Didn't give me pause. I was digging on the routes.
It's funny. Funchess will be remembered for that forever now. But he's coming into his own. Like, it's just a deep offense, which I didn't expect. Kind of like the Eagles. They don't really have one guy standing out. Alshon Jeffrey's been fine. It's nice to have Alshon Jeffrey. He's not, like, a dominant number one receiver. But they had 8 guys catch a pass in the first half last week.
Crazy.
Like, he's spreading it around.
I also thought Kelvin Benjamin looked really good.
He's
had the game-sealing test catch. I believe that mojo seems to be back between Newton and Benjamin. So I don't know. Like, there's a lot of reasons to be excited about the Panthers' ceiling right now.
I think their
this
best
is a great matchup.
I think the Panthers' best game is as good as anyone. Like, I don't know if we're going to see that every week, but I think if they have the pieces, I think they're a better team than the Eagles overall if they play their very best. And if they go on. Is this game in Carolina?
It is. Yeah. And I think that's a huge advantage.
If they go 3 straight weeks winning in Foxborough, winning in Detroit, and then you beat the Eagles, that is an impressive 3-game run.
And if the Eagles win?
Ooh.
NFC East is getting close to being wrapped.
Yeah, people are going to be fired up.
That's right.
City of brotherly love. All right, so there you go. That is the Thursday night preview presented by Head & Shoulders and all them shoulders of greatness. So many shoulders, all of them great. All right, here we go. We tease it at the top of the show. There are some significant name brand players across the NFL landscape who have not performed up to expectations this season. Let's go down the list, and I'm going to throw some out there, and we'll go around the room. Who are you really worried about? Who are you not so worried about? Who are you kind of on the fence with? And we're going to do this by using this is important that I explain this properly because it is the DEFCON ready the DEFCON system. It is, and people that are not in this country, I don't even know if DEFCON is a thing. So this is what you need to know. It's an alert state used by the United States Armed Forces. And there are five levels. And I was explaining, talking with Connie before the show. Some people think level one is the lowest level of a DEF CON in terms of concern.
Flip it.
And when I said that to Connie, she said, oh, God damn it. So yeah, you're worried.
So DEF CON 5
yes.
is the highest?
That is the lowest state of readiness.
Got it.
Normal readiness. Don't worry about DEF CON 5, really.
DEF CON 5, not that big a deal.
DEF CON 1,
just so you know,
there's a major problem.
DEF CON 1 is issues. The description is nuclear war is imminent.
Got it.
That's a problem.
Okay.
With maximum readiness. We're kind of like our country, and like this is getting too real. I would say we're probably around DEF CON 2 right now.
I'm with you on that, yeah.
Next step to nuclear war.
I'm glad we're on the West Coast as well,
yeah.
Right there.
Definitely an NFL player's performance after 4 or 5 weeks of games is attributable to a nuclear war reference.
Maybe in these
times. Well, that happened to the Vikings last year, right?
Yeah, that's fair. Maybe in these times of unease, Mark, the best thing we can do is just kind of make light at the world and just kind of have some fun here in the old studio.
And well said.
Okay, here we go. So
Mark's already halfway up the coast in his mind.
I'm not, because I am certainly not. This day still has 6 or 7 more hours in it.
The Thunderbird with the top down, the wind going through his hair. I could see it now. The bottle of white wine on the front seat. Not opened yet.
No.
But once you get to that beachside location.
Blasting the Beatles, you say it's your birthday over and over in his car.
We can't use the Beatles.
No. Yeah.
We can't say that.
Please. Just stay away from it. We don't want to upset.
Thankfully,
the
we can sing Happy Birthday, though, now.
I don't even
That's
know
That's a
that.
New thing.
I don't even know.
Not sure about that.
That is new.
No, it's new.
Yeah, just cleared. All right, let's start it out, and we'll start with the name that is going to be at the top of everyone's list if you're following the NFL, especially on Sunday, a star that you just cannot figure out. So we're going to start with you, Mr. Sessler. His name is Big Ben Roethlisberger, and he just threw 5 interceptions in a loss to the Jaguars, and he has not been a very good quarterback all season. Where would you put him? Where are you on level of concern, and where would you put him on the DEF CON scale?
Terrible game. I mean, he's never had a game to that magnitude. I'm going DEF CON 4, though, because I think the whole offense feels a little bit out of sync. I don't want to judge Big Ben, who I think has been in the best quarterbacks in NFL history, in the best of our life, based on 1 month's kind of... He's been all right in other games. This was a meltdown. But meltdowns occur occasionally. They happen all the time for lesser quarterbacks. When it happens to him, I'm not calling his career yet. If we're talking about this 3 weeks from now, the DEF CON level raise is much higher for me.
I thought he had a bad game, obviously very bad game, but some of the picks weren't so bad, and then the game kind of... I give a lot of credit to Jacksonville. There seemed like there was like 13 guys on the field in the secondary at various points of that game. So I think it was a game that just got out of hand. A receiver slipped at one point. There weren't too many horrendous passes, I thought, by Ben. So I'm with you. DEF CON 4 is also, by the way, increased intelligence watch and strengthened security measures.
That feels about right.
Yeah.
Yeah, feels fair.
That feels fair, but he's been, before this game, solid but not spectacular, which is not what you expect out of Ben Roethlisberger. You expect the spectacular. So I think it is fair to be concerned. If you're just looking at
Well, how concerned then?
I'm going to go DEF CON 3 because it's more than just 5 games. It's last season, too. So he was at 8.4 yards per attempt a couple years ago, down a full yard last year just about to 7.5, and now we're down to 6.5. So they're not being as efficient as a passing game really through the last season.
Well, my one question, would he even be in this exercise on this list if he hadn't had the Sunday meltdown? If he had 2 touchdowns and a pick and they got out with a win?
He has more interceptions than touchdowns so far this year, and the offense who we all thought and a lot of people thought was going to be this like monster machine just hasn't clicked at all, and I think that starts with him.
It's not like I think he's at the end of the line. It's more, is he done with being a top 5 quarterback? Because that's what I expect. That's what I've thought Ben Roethlisberger is throughout most of his career, as a top 5 guy, and he hasn't been that guy.
All right, let's move on and talk about Marshawn Lynch, who came to the Raiders, which out of retirement with much fanfare. Things got off to a very nice start. He helped close out a win over the Titans. But ever since, he has not averaged more than 3.8 yards per game in any game. And on the season, He's at 3.4 yards per game, has found the end zone twice, including on Sunday, but has been a bit underwhelming, Greg. Where would you put him on your DEFCON scale?
I would put him at DEFCON 5.
Lowest state of readiness.
I'm not that concerned with him. It's more the offense as a whole. He fulfills a very particular role in that offense, and when I watch him run, I think he's running hard. No one's running well for that team. No one's doing anything. I mean, the passing game was struggling. Derek Carr was struggling before he got hurt. There's a lot going on. To me, Lynch is just a part of the system.
Yep, but if we, because there was a lot of talk that and a lot of praise for him when he first came back. Oh, he hasn't missed the beat. This looks like prime Lynch. Like Marshawn Lynch, when he's Marshawn Lynch, makes teams better, makes offensive lines look better, mm-hmm. and he has not been that. I mean, he has not been able to carry the load the way.
Well, maybe it's the Colleen Wolf curse. You know, you step at Colleen Wolf a little inappropriately, yeah, more than a little
too saucy
on air, and you don't have a good season.
That's what happens to everybody, anybody who comes at me like that.
They
don't
have a warning.
Good season.
Yeah, heed that.
Yeah, right. So overly frisky, and he's paying the price.
I think so. Like, I mean, it makes sense. You just connect all of those dots, and what else?
How about another Raider? And we'll let you start this one off, Connie. Amari Cooper, who has been really not just not a real contributor, but he's become a liability, it seems, for the Raiders at wide receiver.
I'm putting this at one.
Whoa.
I am so concerned about Amari Cooper.
Wow. This is keeping you up at night.
It is. And it's obviously not just this game.
Nuclear war.
I know. This is a major
problem.
It's
imminent. It's not happening. It's imminent.
He hasn't looked the same all season. The drops are crushing them right now. He's 4 of 23 the last three games combined altogether. Like, he's only caught 13 passes on 33 targets. Mm. I don't know what's going on with him, but I think it's almost he was struggling at the beginning of the season, and now it's probably in his head, so it's gotten even worse and more pronounced.
Hmm. One seems high. He has a track record. I know he's been in a funk, and it hasn't helped now that the quarterback's out. I'll put him at 2, a step below 1. I'm definitely, I think a lot of people have reason to be extremely concerned with Amari Cooper. But 1 means like you're almost basically pulling him out of the lineup, which I guess could happen, but I don't
know.
No,
I'm just extremely concerned about him, and I wouldn't trust him at all. If he was on my fantasy team, per se, I would take him out of my lineup there.
DEFCON 1 in fantasy, for sure.
2 feels good to me because I think, it points back to it's not Marshawn Lynch. It's not necessarily just Amari Cooper. This whole Raiders offense that people just ticketed this team. Oh, yeah, 12-4, roll right into the AFC Championship against the Patriots. Well, it's not happening at all. And it's a good lesson that, A, the offensive line doesn't translate from year to year. But Amari Cooper, I think it's the kind of guy, do we find out after the season, he was dealing with X. I don't know what it is, but it's something. Whatever it is,
I would go 4 because I mean, this is the same guy. We were talking after week 1. Wow, this looks like a different Amari Cooper. He looks even better than ever in terms of his physicality. He's too good, I think, to not snap out of it.
I'd love to see where both these guys are in 2 months. I just realized, Greg.
On the Saints.
I feel like I know you very well now at this point, Greg. And in general, a big viewpoint in your life is, it's not a big deal. Don't worry about it.
Very
like
laid back.
A lot of it's going to be a lot
of
poor
advisory
in general.
Well, here's the truth, that all of our, generally players and teams and all of this, reverts to their normal mean. So when they're down, the logical pick is they're going to go up.
Okay, let's do 2 more. How about this one, Mark Sessler? Not specifically a player, but the Tennessee Titans and their exotic smash mouth offense. Not a lot going on with the Titans on offense so far this season. Their quarterback's hurt. Hopefully he gets back soon. But in general, the idea of exotic smash mouth in Nashville.
I think the team wanted to change a little bit on offense. In theory, you added Corey Davis, Eric Decker. You have more weapons, Rishard Matthews through the air. But one of the most unwatchable NFL teams I've seen all season with Mariota replaced by Matt Castle at quarterback. Ugh. Totally dysfunctional. And I think it says when you can't, when you can't have to deal with Marcus Mariota, but it's Matt Castle flinging, dump offs and inaccurate screen passes that you can tee up on the running backs. But they also don't seem to have the offensive line strength. And last year they're putting 6-7 blockers and they were just saying, we're going to come at you. I love that style of football. I haven't seen it this year. I think DeMarco Murray, you know, it's not a crisis with DeMarco Murray, but he's not the guy from last season necessarily. And Derrick Henry, they haven't, last game at least, they didn't quite figure out how to get unleash him and get him involved. So the smash mouth thing to me, I put it at a 2. Because the Titans to me... I'm baking in the whole Mariota experience, and if he's out for extended time...
But we all know their offense is going to be bad with Matt Cassel or Brandon
Whedon. I don't see a major progress from last year's offense. I do not. I see a regression, and so that's why it's as high as it is.
This is a team that put up 70 points on the Jaguars and the Seahawks, two defenses we respect, that ran for nearly 200 yards a game in both those games. So I'm going DEFCON 1. I mean,
you're going 1.
Matt Cassel is DEFCON. He's blow DEFCON up the 1. Whole system. Oh, no, wait. I messed it up.
Wait, no.
Like Colleen.
Oh, you know. We're back to you don't care at all about this situation. Like that's what you mean.
Like I knew Colleen in the smell
test. Yeah, I was like, it's not.
Like Colleen in the sandwich game, I don't really understand what's going on. I'm going DEFCON 5.
Of course.
I mean, Matt Cassel, of course, Matt Cassel is beyond DEFCON. Matt Cassel is like, you're just
let
deaf.
The record reflect.
It's over.
It was not me that torpedoed the second.
But if Marcus Mariota's back, then I'm not worried.
Here's the worst news. If you have someone that flips the DEFCON 1 switch, and you can't unring that bell, and you just led to like millions of people slaughtered, Greg.
How do you feel?
They'll get over it, right?
I can.
They'll be fine.
Not a big deal.
All right, last one, and then we got to go. Let's be quick on this. Jameis Winston. I have no real take on that. I think Jameis.
I don't understand why he's on the list. On 5.
Are we worried about Jameis Winston?
I threw him on
5. The last game, he kind of looked a little off.
This is where we differ. You know, you can't put me in a box. I'm going DEFCON 3 on Jameis Winston. I don't think he's played well all season. I mean, I don't think the Bucs offense has played well. He had a couple quarters where he gets hot for a little bit, but I would say he's been less consistent this season than ever before in the season where we expect him to take another step. I'm a little concerned. It's been a very erratic offense for 4 straight weeks. It's been consistently not very good.
Well, I like getting Doug Martin back, and I do think there's been too much emphasis on trying to make the DeSean Jackson thing work quarter after quarter.
It seems like his throws just aren't as accurate as they were before, and the communication is not on the. He's not on the same page with a lot of his guys, especially on that last play with O.J. Howard. Like,
maybe it's my surprise.
We're not there together.
Right? Maybe it's my level.
Well, where
of
does your return to the mean theory apply to this? Because I think he will. I think he'll be fine. It's a young quarterback that we can't expect the world from this. You know, this minute.
Well, we're talking this season, and I'm concerned that. That this has been
be another kind of up and down Winston year, which was not kind of the consensus going into the season. It seemed that he was going to be the next level guy. I get it. That seems right. All right, there you go. DEFCON level of concern.
Sorry.
Struggling players. Kind of mixing metaphors. Does that make sense? We kind of got a little messy in there, but we did our best.
It's all right.
We think we got the message.
Well, I'm sorry to all the civilians out there that I said DEFCON 1.
Oh, they're melted.
They're gone now.
Literally, their shadows are on the pavement, and that's all that's left.
Wow. It's so dark in here. It's getting so dark. Oh, my God.
Okay. Let's bring some light in, Colin.
Please.
Let's do it.
Please. Let's stop killing everybody.
We're going to do it with... It's like nuclear death, drug problems. There's so many bad things in the world out
Mark's
there.
Mark's birthday.
Mark's birthday is a nice thing.
Yeah.
But also, it's a reminder...
You guys are far more excited about it than I am, but
it is a reminder of the unstoppable march of time on some level. So that's kind of dark, but
great reminder.
One thing that is bright is the subreddit super contest week 4. Oh my
god!
That's
a DEFCON 5 sound.
No, I think it was like a trumpet.
Might as well be.
This feels like the nuclear blast to me so far.
My level of my fear in this is DEFCON 2. Bring it up, people.
I've been shaken a little bit by the listeners. Last week, I thought that we put out some questions that were, I wouldn't say layups, but it was like, hey, guys, we want you to win these damn football games.
You put it up on a tee, and they walked up, you know, like one of those kids with a bat, and they just hit the actual tee.
I want to stay for the whole time.
The ball's just sitting there, but just hit the tee. Falls sadly.
Connie wants to say, so let's get right into it if we can. Loose cannon behind the glass. Who do we have up first today?
Colin from New Jersey.
Colin from New Jersey. Jersey boy. Where in Jersey, Colin?
Right near Morristown, Somerset County.
Very nice.
Oh.
My dad used to
Are you an
there.
Eagles fan?
Oh, no way. I'm a Jets fan.
Yeah,
all right.
Colin. All right. First Jets fan. You know, Colin, that I'm rooting for you here Maybe even Maron. Could you potentially have two tickets to Jets Patriots AFC East on the line? Oh, my Lord.
These books feel very cooked right now.
All right. So, you know I'm rooting for you, but at the same time, Colin, I cannot do anything but read the questions, and you need to get four answers in a row, or we say goodbye. And even despite being a Jersey guy and being a Jets fan, we're hanging up the phone if you fail, and there's nothing else to say.
That's fair.
All right. Let's do this thing.
I'm ready.
The Houston Texans lost two key defensive players to season-ending injuries in Sunday night's loss to the Chiefs. Name them.
J.J. Watt and Whitney Merciless. Coolest name in the NFL.
Yeah. Oh, I'm feeling good. I think it ends here.
One for one.
I think the contest ends.
Good job. Good job.
This quarterback.
Thank you.
This quarterback has started games with three different NFC teams since being taken first overall in the 2010 NFL draft.
Sammy Bradford.
Buddy.
Halfway home. Christian Anderson had his finger on the trigger, ready to hang up on you behind the glass, but no. Halfway home.
Did it.
All right, now, Colin from Morristown, New Jersey.
Let's do this.
This is the question tied to Around the NFL podcast trivia. How long have you been a listener?
2.5 years.
Two and a half years, so you should be okay here.
You're good.
Uh-huh.
Question three. Who is John Gonzalez?
Who is John Gonzalez? That is Colleen Wolf's lovely husband from Philadelphia.
Yeah!
That's correct!
That's right! You got it!
I lived there for a couple years. Big fan.
All right!
Wow, he even knows Gonzalez. I mean, this is just, we don't even need the fourth question.
Woo.
Just send the tickets.
Wow.
I like this guy.
My girlfriend went to the Mount, and I told him about the Gwinnett Academy story. They loved it.
Oh, yeah. That's where my sister went, the Penny story. Yeah, it's we're all basically family on that side of the
country. Classic Wolf story.
Classic Wolf. All right, so there you go. That's 3 for 3. If anyone is curious about John Gonzalez, there's even more information if you want to hear it.
Did he just get hired by the Ringer?
He did.
Oh, there's also this information.
John Ronald Gonzalez, born March 12, 1977, is an American sports writer who is married to NFL media broadcaster Colleen Wolf. John, who's a Pisces, resides in Los Angeles with his wife and two dogs.
Okay.
Originally, Dan wanted that. That needed to be the complete answer. I said, this is ridiculous.
That's, yeah, that's so tough.
That was me literally trying to kill Greg, but I'll take lovely husband and Philadelphia native. Yeah. Okay, here we go. This is for all the marbles. Three in a row.
You got it. You got
it. Wait
this.
For my
you
cue. You ready?
Oh, yeah.
Christian, don't hang up. His finger's on the button. Here we go. This is an audio clue.
The Bears are what we thought they were. They're what we thought they were. We played them in preseason. Who the hell takes a third game in a preseason like it's bullshit? Bullshit. We played them in the third game. Everybody played three quarters. The Bears are who we thought they were. That's why we took the damn field. Now, if you want to crown them, then crown their ass. But they are who we thought they were. And we let them off the hook.
Put
so,
a name.
That
voice.
Is the former Arizona Cardinals coach, Kevin Green.
Oh, no!
No.
I thought that was the easiest question by far.
That was incorrect. That's the incorrect answer. It is not Kevin Green.
Wow.
Kevin Green is a Hall of Fame pass rusher.
Well, he might have. Did he say Kevin or Devin?
Doesn't matter.
He didn't say the right answer. We know that. Right?
I can't believe that.
All right. Let's get another one on the line. I am literally
I mean, these are not layups. These are if you woke up out of bed and you're still awake, you should be able to answer.
Yeah, I think the first couple were pretty tough. And
yeah.
You got three.
I don't know.
Those.
I don't know.
Wow. I mean.
I honestly.
If you get past the first two, you are smooth sailing unless you're simply, I don't know, you crumbled.
I haven't been that disappointed since Because my parents told me they didn't love me.
Wait a second. This is a dark show. All right, we got somebody else on the line. I'm honestly a little bit stunned right now, and I'm trying to be a professional. But, all right, who's on the line?
Whew. We've got Ryan from Los Angeles, right, Ryan?
Yes, that's me.
I mean, Colin could have been...
Could have been it.
At Jets Pat...
The caller before you, you were very lucky. The caller before you could not have been any closer to winning the tickets, but now you've got a chance.
Oh, poor Colin. That's scary. That's very scary.
All right, I'm going to...
Ryan sounds like he's downstairs in our newsroom.
All right, who is this again? Ryan from Los Angeles?
Yep.
Yes.
All right, here we go. Ryan, you are a fortunate man. The contest goes on. Four questions in a row you got to get right. You ready?
I'm ready.
Let's
do it.
The Houston Texans lost two key defensive players to season-ending injuries in Sunday night's loss to the Chiefs. Name them.
That will be J.J. Watt and Whitney Mercilus.
All right. We're rolling.
One for one. This quarterback has started games with three different NFC teams since being selected first overall in the 2010 NFL Draft.
Sam Bradford?
Very good.
Yes.
Halfway home.
All right.
All right, this is the Around the NFL podcast question. Who is John Gonzalez?
John Gonzalez is Colleen Wolf's husband.
Real tough
right.
one.
That's amazing.
You never know.
All right, we're back where we started.
That's how he describes himself, too, just generally when he's walking around John Gonzalez.
That's how we Colleen bought Wolf's him husband. On shows.
You know her from all the NFL Network shows.
Ryan, who's your team?
I'm sorry?
Who's your team?
I sit on the throne of ease.
Oh, wow. He could be going to Patriots.
Had a Jets fan, now of a Patriots fan.
You're in L.A., though. Do they have any West Coast trips? I'll check that out for you. Check that out.
I hope so.
Looked ahead of that much to say what game you would target if you do get this final question?
I think the closest game to L.A. is in Denver.
They play Oakland in Week 11.
Oh.
And you're fully aware that the shadowy league figures did not provide any airfare or lodging.
You could drive to Oakland.
That is disappointing.
That one's in Mexico City.
Oh, that's true. That's in Mexico City. Would you like to
You could drive to
there?
Mexico City.
I can't. On my I won't say it.
All right. All right, here we go.
Come on, Ryan.
You could do this, Ryan. This is an audio clue for two tickets on the throne of ease.
The Bears are what we thought they were. They're what we thought they were. We played them in preseason. Who the hell takes a third game in a preseason like it's bullshit? We played them in the third game. Everybody played three quarters. The Bears are who we thought they were. And that's why we took the damn field. Now, if you want to crown them, then crown their But they are who we thought they were. And we let them off the hook.
Answer. Who is that?
I'm going out on a limb. I'm going to say Dennis Green.
Oh!
That's correct.
Yes!
That's correct.
Did I win?
Ryan from Los Angeles, you have won.
I won.
Subreddit Super Contest. Congratulations!
Yes!
You did it!
I like that he didn't know that he won with all the screaming. Thank you. Thank you.
You did it!
For ending this just how it should, with a Jets fan
welcome,
getting
Brad.
As close as humanly possible and blowing it, and then a Patriots fan taking it home.
Yes. Wow.
A big victory
for
all
you.
All makes
guys.
Sense now.
Wow, yeah. The Devin Green, was it? Kevin Green? Whatever
he said.
Said
Kevin Green, I believe.
The previous caller. Green. The previous caller.
No, yes, the previous caller said Kevin Green at the very end. So
The correct answer is Dennis Green. He was at the time, the late Dennis Green. He was the Arizona Cardinals head coach after they really blew a game against the Bears. So there you go. Ryan from LA wins two tickets. The first ever subreddit super contest is in the books. Congratulations, Ryan. Stay on the line with Luce Cannon. She'll help you out with the details and what you need to know to find out. But congratulations, buddy.
Great job. Thank you for ending our collective misery.
Well, Greg, what did you learn about the idea of rewarding listeners for how much they love our show. I hope you learn that it's good to reach out to the listeners.
Yeah, that's
and,
good.
And share moments with them like that. That special moment that Ryan just had.
That's true. I mean, you could have just given them the tickets. That would have been a special moment. Like, call one up. You know, you don't need to go through so many hoops. And
right.
Make them act like monkeys for your entertainment.
Right. Okay, Greg, good job. That is the subreddit super contest. 2017. Good news. We'll be back in 2018, buddy.
All right.
What drama here in Studio 66? We have to get going now. But just a reminder that the live stream of this episode is on NFL.com/ATN video. You can check it out starting at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. Elsewhere in the world, figure it out. And also a reminder that NFL Pick'em, our show on NFL Network, airs on Saturdays at 9 a.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Eastern, and 11 p.m. Eastern. And then Sunday morning once more at 6 a.m. Eastern, where we actually lead into Connie Fox and the Game Day morning crew. So thank you to everybody for listening. Thank you for being a part of the subreddit super contest. The turnout was really great, and we love interfacing with you guys. So thank you for being part of that, and let's go. This is Dan Hansis signing off for Quiet Storm, Connie Fox, the old boss, Loose Cannon behind the glass, and everybody else. Christian, finger on the trigger. Till Thursday.